So, hi. How's the Richard Lang thing going?
Still living.
All right. What do you do when you're in that under the sway of that? And do you have to look through like a paper tube every day, or?
Not really.
Like, what's your practice? You know, looking through a paper tube.
The practice is no making fun of it. The practice is seeing what you are, which is sort of what you see when you look here.
Uh huh.
What's sitting on top of your shoulders?
That's cool. Is that something you do just casually throughout the day, or do you commit some time to it, like one would a mindfulness practice?
Whenever I think of it.
Yeah.
Sometimes I do it. Sometimes I have it.
Oh, yeah. Presence practice.
Yes. So, this is Richard Lang. Nice. No, it's really Douglas Harding.
This Richard Lang part was somebody from a long time ago, or something.
No, Richard's intent with Douglas Harding back when he was 17, back in the 70s.
But I'm just trying to see if this is the same. I think it was Richard Lang, and I was in college in around 1970. So it's a big influence of sort of an existential psychology.
No, that's different. That's a psychologist's name. Yeah. Lang spelled it differently.
Oh,
Richard Lang is L-A-N-G. The other Lang, I think, is L-A-I-N-G.
Oh.
L-A-A-A-A-N.
You can't tell the difference between a psychiatrist and an enlightened guy? Jesus. After all you've read?
Hi.
Hey, Denise. Nice mug. Nice chocolate chip cookie. See, I wouldn't want to do presence practice with a chocolate chip cookie because, I mean, I don't want it to be separate from me. You know what I mean?
It isn't. I mean, you watch it go into the void.
That's true. It goes into the void. Uh-huh. And what I'm going to call the whole different sensation. No.
I think it's going to be a three-package
opening. Oh, wow. It's a three-package.
We're going
three-package night.
It's, you know, things come in threes. So.
No. Good things, too.
Yeah.
Well, so I imagine the void thing is right, sustaining and pleasing and keeps opening, so it's not a static process.
Is the question, is the void static? I don't know. It sort of contains, it's kind of a mysterious.
Yeah. Yeah. And the mysterious is felt. You know, I mean, without that mysterious being felt, there'd be kind of no incentive or point to it.
I'm not sure about that.
Well, if there wasn't some kind of feedback mechanism, even something subtle or nuanced like appreciation of right, objects evaporating or disappearing into what's behind, right, the plenum, then, I mean, you know, there'd be no incentive to look into it. Right.
Well, there is a, I guess the way I would put it is, there is a an urge to sort of recognize or be what you
yes.
I think is your source in a way.
Yeah. Right. I mean, no seeker is any seeker without that urge. Right? Yeah. That's fun. So the urge is it's a double-sided, you know, coin or sword like so many things are. Without the urge, we would be happy being a more or less dumb fuck idiot wandering through life like most muggles do. And have no even curiosity or appetite for the sacred, the divine, the void, you know, wouldn't even know that it was something to be considerate of. And yet that same urge, that that same urge, which in a sense kind of concretizes us as the urgent, right? The urgent, the urge makes this the urgent. And so a discovery process takes place, which could include Douglas Harding and, of course, you know, a portfolio of thousands, millions of others. And if there's going to be some fruition or actualization of that urge, that would be the, what would you call it? The evaporation of the urge and the evaporation of the urgent.
I'm not sure that would be the fruition. I would think that the difference between the muggle, how did you describe it? Whatever it is, it, the picture that you paint there, there's no awareness of what's going on or what one is.
Yeah, right. Yeah, the question never enters one's experience. Mm-hmm.
So awareness in the present moment of what you are is seems to be key. And I think it's impossible to make, so to hold on to that very long, actually.
Hold on to the ignorance or the interest?
The awareness.
Ah. Right. Yeah. Why?
That's my experience. It's just the way it is.
Uh-huh.
Because
they get distracted.
Right.
Yeah. Is that okay? Or would you, if it were possible, I mean, I know you said it was impossible, so I want to respect your conclusion, but if it were possible to somehow shift the, just scales of justice, the blind scales of justice, so that you could actually find yourself in a different quality of relationship with whatever we're referring to that as. Would you go for it?
Well, I think one can imagine all sorts of things.
Or would you? Yeah, right.
But it's almost, you know, I don't know this is the case, but in general, things exist with their opposite.
Well, if they exist at all, then there's got to be some kind of tension going on, whether it's their opposite or duality, subject-object, you know, stuff like that. Yeah, if there's exist, there has to be some strange frame of reference for something to exist in, whether it's object out there or even whether it's, right, the subtle objectification of this as void. Because this becomes an object too, doesn't it? Right.
Well, not necessarily an object, the container of objects. But it's a notion.
Yep.
But
yeah.
As soon as we symbolize it, it seems to become an object.
Yep, that's right. It's through the symbology. Whether as a container or even a void, that it can't help but becoming, right, an object. Yeah. Right. Subjectification, the myth of subjectification becomes object. You know, with no delay. The myth of subjectification becomes object with no delay. Call it what you will, whether it's objects out there on the field or whether it's this to which the objects are appearing, that becomes an object as well. And maybe the distraction that you refer to, the distraction, which is the impossibility, right, is just part of the waveform of the myth of objects and the myth of subject. Maybe. So if that's the case, then it might be possible rather than impossible to get out from under the influence of, just call it the chronic seduction of consciousness. Right? The chronic seduction of consciousness, which makes us feel that experiencing is about something, which includes the likes of me, as one who may be urgently interested in, right, resting in void. Yeah. It's a funny puzzle, right? It's a kind of a funny paradox. Yeah.
So raw experience, just experiencing, I'm thinking that that's not necessarily dualistic, it's just experiencing. But it, just like that, goes into...
Bada boom. Bada bing, bada boom.
And ideas and...
That's right.
Memories and memes and...
You become a wise guy from Brooklyn faster than you can say forget about it.
Forget about it.
Yeah, yeah. That's its nature. So what we're up against is something that's, you know, profound, rich in its effusion, which is this objectifies and subjectifies with no time delay, with no gap, with no willful endeavor. It just does it. It can't help it. The rush of symbology or the rush of what's called a consciousness cognizant of pattern and differentiation. If there's pattern and differentiation being, let's say, felt within a field, even of the void, then there's some kind of weird kind of recognition. And so the influence to objectify, the influence and the impulse to objectify is nonstop. That's why the distractibility is so poignant, so apparently so formidable.
I think that takes place, but isn't there also sort of the nonverbal experience of when you have awareness and the awareness of the container and everything that's in it?
You tell me. I would say you're too late. At least we can appreciate that there's something maybe going on here or not going on here, which can't be reduced to objects, subjects, container, or anything for that matter. Yeah, so that's always present, but not in the way that we typically experience things. Always present, but impossible to find, impossible to occupy, but always present. But not as subject, not as object, not even as experience, not even raw data is... You know, Elmer Fudd chasing rabbits. Yeah. So it's very curious that we have this apparent paradox or quarrel between the nonstop effusive seduction of objects and subject as experiencing and nothing at all, which would be this as it is, exactly as it is, without, you could say, the reflex of pattern recognition. Because pattern recognition suggests the imposition of self, like faster than you can say, silly wabbit. So we're up against something that's marvelous, really miraculous, in both its fullness as form and its emptiness as, you know, unpalatable, unspeakable, uncontainable. And yet our urge, as long as that urgency persists, which is the, you know, the espiritu of the seeker, the espiritu of the aspirant, as long as that persists, then we can't help but be seduced, satisfactorily or otherwise, by objectification and subjectification, hoping that maybe one day I can rest, right, in the void of it all. When the void of it all was never not here, and curiously not attainable.
I agree that that's a myth, that you can't rest in that place. But I guess you talked about object, subject, and was it nothing at all?
Yeah.
If it's nothing at all is a very vague idea.
Yeah, we can't do much better, can we?
Well, I guess that's what I question.
Oh, all right. The floor is yours. Give us nothing at all.
Well, as I said, it's a nonverbal experience. You know, I guess you took experience out of the picture. I guess,
yeah,
I'm proposing perhaps there is an experience,
right,
that is nonverbal, that is outside of subject object, but still an experience. The idea of nothing at all, I don't know what to make of that.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not alone in that.
Well, are either of you saying that you can conceive of nothing? I mean, that's not possible.
Yeah, right, because whatever you may conceive of has got at least one thing in it.
So, the point of what you're saying.
Well, something is,
you're not alone in that. Yeah, this is pointless. In a good way. Not in a rude way. Pointless in a good way. Or, I mean, what are we doing where we have no idea? This is consciousness, you know, this is consciousness, let's call it that. And someone, you know, untied the ropes from the pier. This is consciousness drifting. It doesn't really have a purpose. It doesn't have wisdom. It doesn't have knowledge. It doesn't start. It doesn't end. It just diffuses. When we take the effusion seriously enough to have a belief or a faith, well, then we just end up with exploitation. So the dance for a primate, if there is such a thing, is to play around with the ebb and flow of consciousness playfully, non-seriously, without the nuisance of destination, or the nuisance of understanding, yeah, or the nuisance of utility, yeah, all of which, you know, confound us quite easily. Nobody knows what this is, which is the good news. And we can see the curious dilemma of trying to articulate what we might be referring to as emptiness.
With any, it can't be
emptiness. All right.
Because it's not.
Yeah, but I'm not. Right.
As soon as you do it.
Right.
You
so my
it.
Question,
yeah.
Where I have a question with regard to your view,
yeah.
Is whether you can experience it.
Yeah.
Even though you cannot, as soon as you try to describe it in words,
right.
You're describing something else.
Yeah.
But...
We can be bold here and suggest you're never not that. It's not possible to be other than that. It's not possibly other than that, or to experience it, or experience anything other than that. So this is full time. Full time, whether we are deluded by awake consciousness, sleeping consciousness, dreaming, da-da-da-da consciousness, deluded by thoughts and patterns and presumption, time, space, projection, regret, right? Human travail. Even spiritual experience, as long as we're encumbered by whatever shows up within the myth field of consciousness, it could make it appear as if we're not experiencing what this actually is. But how could we be? How could we not be experiencing, and that word, of course, is clumsy also, what this already is? This can only be what it already is, without delay, without obfuscation.
I agree, but how about this? It's possible to experience it. And to be aware of it, or not to be aware of it.
That's what the Buddhists and the Hindus and everybody else would have you believe, and that's what keeps the Buddhists and the Hindus in the game. Yeah, they would have you believe that. And I'm not disagreeing with it. It's just that we can both appreciate that it's more nuanced than, you know, we could possibly wrap our hands around, our mind around. Yeah. Because once we entertain the notion of experiencing, then you're fucked again. You're too late. You're a subject. And as a subject, you are instantaneously an object. And this that already is then becomes an apparently distant from you because of that urgency to feel it, to discover it, to experience it. Yeah.
So you're saying consciousness is not everything it's cracked up to be.
Consciousness is what? Nirsagadatta said it was the, right, the child of a barren woman? Something fun like that, you know? Yeah. Yeah.
He was confusing on consciousness because he seemed to change it, you know, his meaning. Of
he just liked coming. To yell at people. That was his way of showering everyone with love. Thank you, Master. Out, get out, get out. Yeah, so we're already feeling, because we couldn't be possibly doing anything other than feeling that this is so. What this is, we don't know. The interest in even experiencing it from a more refined or more nuanced or more intimate way is curiously a refutation of that it's already felt. And that's what all the fuckers out there that sell enlightenment correspondence courses rely on to keep you, you know, as a an annuitized paying member. Because they prey on the seeker's sincere interest to feel this. from a nuanced point of view, as a spiritual experience. Yeah, and that's how we stay in the game.
Are you including yourself?
Absolutely. Yeah, I include myself first. Then I make fun of everybody else. Yeah. Yeah. Well, this, you know, I mean, this, the Night Sky Sangha, whatever it is or isn't, is, you know, it's free, it's egalitarian, it's, you know, come and go as you please, and I can't find a dogma associated with it, though someone can accuse me of being dogmatic. I can't find a view that's being espoused, you know, on a routine basis, though someone can certainly accuse me of it. We're just heading out to sea.
That's why it's hard to describe to anybody.
It's really interesting to get a bead on the, let's call it the genesis of materialization. What are you before you become something? What are you or what is this before it or you become something? With something, someone or something without. Someone or something with an aspiration. Someone or something that self-accuses of being not there yet. Or whatever you accuse yourself of. What are you, what is this, before you become something, before it becomes something in your so-called experience? You don't have a fucking clue. You what? You have a clue.
Please.
Tell us, because we want what she's having. Harry and Sally, yeah. What's the clue?
Well, when I look at my simple awareness, you know, before the objects that are in there,
yeah,
was it ever born? I can't see that it was born.
Right.
Aware capacity, let's say.
Yeah. Okay, but that's a didactic and a nice one.
I'm putting words to it, but it's experience of it.
Yeah.
Looking out. You know.
Right. Right. Yeah. So would you say that's a clue? Or could you say, for fun, that that's also cluelessness? You like clue? I like cluelessness. Maybe we're speaking exactly about the same thing, which can't be spoken of, but I go with cluelessness, and you like clue. Yeah. It could be that simple, you know, really. Like, I haven't a clue. I have a clue. Okay. Right?
It's everything and nothing.
Yeah, we don't know. You're just as welcome to be clueless about it as you are to have what you might consider a clue. And agreeably, admittedly, somewhat clumsy didactic to try to point, right, at the unpointable. Heading out to sea. Mm-hmm. As this, so we're just saying too much. Nobody needs a clue.
Did you say as this?
As this.
What is this? This you're speaking.
Well, you know, can't say. As this, right? Nobody needs a clue.
I guess I was calling it awareness.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, calling it awareness, I think it's a little bit of a presumption. I mean, I don't know. Awareness, I mean, automatically means you're aware of something, something outside of you.
Not me. This, it's just, here it is. You know, I can't deny it.
Yes. Yeah. Well, there we go. Ended up stumbling into a similar vocabulary. Oh, yeah, nothing to talk about.
thought, I am wondering if there's no subject-object, then what typically might be considered an object then becomes, is more felt as the subject. It's everything.
Sure. Yeah. Yes.
Might then be felt as the subject.
Yeah. So much, you know, yogic literature and poetic literature refers to that. Right? The object is no longer an object other than self, and self is no longer an object other than self, and so you end up with, someone called it, you know, radiant presence, which you might be saying too much also. Right? Yeah, there's an intimacy which occurs when witnessing of objects is no longer a separative experience by a subject. Then it's just like, you know,
and
fainting goats.
I would say is undefined unicity.
Yeah, cool. There you go. Right? See? Yeah. I knew you were the reincarnation of Rumi.
I love Rumi.
See? Someone had to be Rumi. It may as well be you.
She's standing on the shoulders of Rumi.
I mean, you know, it gets tired being tiresome being Cleopatra. May as well go for Rumi. Nobody wants to be Pontius Pilate.
I'm the reincarnation of Pontius Pilate.
Yeah, sorry to hear that. Yeah, no one walks in. Yeah, nobody walks into a New Age conference and says, "Oh, by the way, you are really? What were you thinking?" What do you got, Jen?
Me?
Yeah.
At that moment, I was thinking I would find it more interesting to be the reincarnation of Judas.
Yeah, sure. Right. Definitely.
Someone might say Jeffrey.
All right. Don't make too much about me. That's a dead end.
That was good. That was good.
Yeah. Don't be so.
You know, skillful vocabulary, skillful didactic along the way, whether it's, you know, Hardingisms or something else, are, you know, they're useful. They're kind of like a carrier pigeon, right? It's like sending a message to yourself. You tie a little message to the carrier pigeon, right? It comes back, you know, with a message. So that's fun. It's nice. But you can feel how, you know, all of that representational material, the Akashic, right, record of representational metaphor becomes lusciously moot.
I think Harding would agree, but he would say, and that's why he had these silly little experiments.
Yes.
He would say that you can experience, and that so that was, he would argue that the key, you know, he'd call it seeing, you know, you can,
yeah,
through sort of playing around, or, well, that's not the right word, and I shouldn't say
that works. No, playing around is good. Experimentation is what we got.
You can get to see who you are.
Yes.
Who you say who you really are.
Yeah.
That it's actually more concrete than the words which we give to it.
Well, of course. Yeah, I mean, you know, words are referential barking noises. And this awareness, whatever you like, is irrefutable.
Awareness is irrefutable?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I know what you mean. I mean,
okay.
I've been dreaming, and I've totally felt that I was there and was aware, and yet I woke up.
Yeah.
Or I dreamed I was dreaming.
Well, sure.
Yeah. and woke up and then woke up again.
Yes, right. So the iterations never quit.
I'm confused.
But what is the awareness not in those things?
Well, that, maybe it's the definition of awareness.
Yeah, I don't know what awareness means. Yeah.
So whatever I think, I'm aware.
Well,
there's no objective that's right and that's not right. So the dream is no less my awareness than my awakening.
Right. Sure.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, without resorting to any kind of spiritual or secular tautology, are you presently so?
I think so. I might be in the matrix. I don't know.
Right. But even if you were in a hallucinatory, right, a vast hallucinatory, right, inculcation of some kind, that doesn't necessarily diminish that, whether dreaming or not dreaming, whether in the nth iteration.
From my point of view, it doesn't. But from your point of view, witnessing me, you might, she's just asleep.
Yeah.
She doesn't. If she thinks she's seeing someone else, but no, she's lying asleep.
Yes.
But that doesn't matter.
No, but that, yeah, right. That, you know, what anyone else thinks.
So it's yours. The awareness is always just from inside you. There is nothing else.
Yeah, that's fun. Yeah. So I mean, it kind of begs a question, like. Without a single idea, without any conviction at all, what do you got? Whether it's sleeping or dreaming, you know, it's kind of, who cares? It's random. Yeah. What do you got? I would refer to whatever it is that one finds, though one doesn't have to find anything in particular, is, you know, use the term, the metaphor, what's the metaphor again? Irrefutable. Yeah.
Can't be denied.
Sure.
The inexpressible is irrepressible.
Yeah, straight out of Compton.
Try to go to sleep when you're supposed to wake up. When you can't
get
back to sleep.
Again, it's an inadequate verbal statement, but one way to view it is it's the screen on which it's supposed to be played. It's the awareness, anyway.
Yeah, well, yes.
And that, the analogy to a movie or a...
Right, yeah. Well, it turns out the screen, you know, is not a screen, right? Yeah, it's not. It's not an object. It's not a screen. It's not a volume. It's not a container. Yeah. It can't actually be found, and yet it's irrefutable.
I wouldn't say it can't be found. It's right here. You can't pin it down.
This is another one of those everything, nothing question.
Yeah, right. You know, and right here, it doesn't mean anything unless whatever it we're suggesting is irrefutable is felt. Right?
When you say felt, you mean experienced.
Yeah, yeah, not felt as in sentiment.
Right.
Right. Yes.
Not thought about, you know.
Right. All ideation, all metaphor, we could say, if we do a reduction sauce on it, you know, boil off everything that's inconsequential, what's, where are we left with? This that is felt.
Seems like when you, or if, you boil off everything that is inconsequential, then actually everything becomes apparent.
Yeah, why not? Yeah, we're not speaking about some kind of you know, destination for consciousness, awareness, or whatever to end up in a state or a condition or in some kind of agreement or refutation of anything. So all metaphor is like, of course, of course, of course, of course. You know, because what? We don't know what it is, how it is, why it is, when, where, et cetera, et cetera, whether we're in, you know, 1,000 iterations of dreaming, you know, plugged into the matrix or whatever. And, yeah, you want to say something about this? I'm in. Let's buy pizza.
I've gotten lost here. What is it you're saying is inconsequential? I mean, nothing is inconsequential.
Okay. Down with that?
Meaning everything has meaning?
Yes.
Everything means
something. Well, everything is important.
To whom?
How can it not be? Whether it's the molecules of air we're breathing, or the thought we're thinking, or whether it's the warmth we're feeling, or everything. How can it not be important? It's
important for living in this world. It's important for concepts. It's important for a lot of things. But is that what we're messing with?
It can't be. It can't not be.
So this is a
definition.
You're talking about the consciousness that is not part of that.
We're talking about something that is not part of that.
So you don't believe your brain creates your consciousness. You believe that it comes
from what? That your brain is the causal or culprit of consciousness? No! but I'm happy to. I'm happy to.
I'm in trouble. You're surrounded.
Well, no, this is good. You're a scientist. So you're a scientist.
I'm not a scientist. I'm just a
scientific point of view.
What was the word? A dumb shit muggle? Like that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't you like scientists better than you? Oh, so much.
No, I'm not a scientist.
Dumb fuck materialist muggle. I'm in.
I mean, I always thought of myself as a seeker, but seeking what causes things, and I like to measure things.
Yes, of course.
I'm big into things I can measure and observe and validate.
Absolutely. Yeah, consciousness loves a party. Yeah, that you know, that's really cool. You know, that fun story about the space shuttle going from the fab building to the launch pad on railroad tracks that are the width of a horse's ass, because that's how the ruts built from Roman chariots got created. Yeah. Same train tracks, same width. The shuttle got sent out to the launch pad on something the width of a horse's ass.
Yeah, that's
So I don't know if I would have a big quarrel, just kind of a playful quarrel, with whether the brain is consequential for what we would call consciousness, or whether consciousness, not being a consequence of anything at all, is, in a sense, just poetically preeminent of all material expression, phenomenal expression. But again, that places phenomenal expression as the consequence of something that could be considered a Gaia or a Godhead, right? Source, and that's not the case. This is not consequential, neither consciousness nor brain. How's that? All that's appearing, which you love to measure and find important, and I have no argument with the delight in measurement or the delight of importance, is absolutely acausal.
Well, it's one thing to say causal, but it's another to say think consequential.
Oh, well, I guess I use, I could reel back the inconsequential thing for fun. What I'm referring to as inconsequential is the noise that binds.
Without that, you know, 0 degrees Kelvin, nothing. I mean, that's noise is life.
Could
but
be.
Your way of noise is consciousness. I mean, what else?
Yeah.
Brownian motion. I mean, that's the world.
Okay.
There's no noise without silence. So there's no everything without nothing.
It's a rough crowd.
Let's start talking about dark matter. Throw that in there.
I would say that nothing is.
There's no light without dark matter.
Right.
Other things.
Completely.
And we don't know what that is.
It's the background.
So, but it's the space between.
Well, yeah. I mean, you can see where we go with our honorable affection and honorable sincerities when we do our best to describe, reduce, express how this might be playing itself out from a consequential point of view. We're just going to end up, right, with conceptual perturbations that can't be proven or disproven by anyone,
right?
And then, so then they become, you could say, part of one's playful nature, one's playful expression. Yeah,
in turn, yeah. To think about and great.
That's right. Yeah, the value system that you bring to the enjoyment of your life.
Mm-hmm. And I think somehow my shekels went up or something when you talked about reducing things, that things were inconsequential, because, I don't know, there's great joy in life, is all.
Yeah.
All of it.
I've always envied people like you.
Yes, but I can't appreciate the joy if I don't have the misery. I'm miserable most of the time, right?
Anyone that knows you would say so.
Yes.
We don't have the privilege of knowing you so well. Yeah. Yeah.
If she gets validation from you on that, I would be quiet.
Stand down.
Just a little.
Yeah. All is in. How could it not be? Whether it's measure, importance, good, bad, indifferent, miserable, happy, it's all in. And that's super. The conversation can also, you could say, travel in a friendly parallel track to kind of explore, feel, elucidate, argue about the nature of, present consciousness. The curious paradoxes that are illustrated by a sage like Douglas Harding, right? By highlighting a apparently dualistic dichotomy to bring attention to, right, the spaciousness, the liberated spaciousness to which all is appearing.
And he would say that's what you are.
Yeah, I mean, he can accuse you or this of anything he wants. It's not true, but it's not untrue. Because, see, once we end up with this that you are, the magic of it becomes this that you are. I mean, like, shut the fuck up, Doug. We feel it.
It disappears.
Yes. You.
How can that disappear?
You express yourself. You said it's impossible earlier. I don't want to hold you to it. Change your mind at whim. You said it was impossible.
I said it's impossible to hold on to the awareness of that.
But you have glimpses.
Are you good with glimpses? Are you good with impossible? Do you want to break? Could you, if you could, just for fun, because you're still alive, let's, shoot the moon, right? And when you play hearts, you shoot the fucking moon. You're alive. Why would you wish to consider or continue to consider that whatever it is that we're referring to is impossible? Why sell yourself short? Let's go with possible. Let's go with now. Let's go with forever, not that there is one.
Well, you're assuming then it would be better if it were continuous, if it were...
I didn't know. I'm just calling the impossible into question. It doesn't mean I can guarantee that or even feel that it's better. You've got an impossible going, and if you've got an impossible going, you've got some idea of a bunch of shit, and we all do, so we're not singling you out. Right? So I'm just saying, what's impossible?
All right, so if I assert impossible, you would challenge that in the other direction.
I don't know. Right. Give me a couple minutes. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe, maybe not.
Any polarization is subjective.
Well, impossible suggests, the binding nature of temporality. Experience is temporality, which makes a thing impossible. It's an idea, isn't it? It can't be anything but an idea.
Well, we had the argument, not argument earlier, but we spoke of That's the difference between experience and idea. Mm-hmm. An idea is
a, well, I got in trouble because I referred to that as inconsequential. As idea as inconsequential. Yeah. But okay, there's no difference, right? There can't be a difference between idea and experience.
Maybe experience comes first.
Yeah, experience is nonverbal. An idea, at least it seems to me, like it's implicit in the word.
It's metaphoric. Yeah, right. Yes. But ideas, which apparently don't quit, are appearing, right, effulgently, effusively appearing in and as experience. So you can't really, you know.
I would say they're appearing, they're not identical to experience, is what I would say. You know, ideas, that's our mind activity. Our mind activity, our thoughts, that goes on in this space just like things go on.
You're creating a very, I would say, you're creating a very strange dichotomy by perhaps borrowing from Douglas Harding's dualistic invitation, which where you end up in impossible.
I'm not sure I see the dilemma you're talking about of ending up in impossible.
Once you separate ideas from awareness, you've created what? Another perturbation in the field. And from there, in your own words, you said awareness of this, right, whatever, is impossible to sustain.
I thought you said,
Awareness, being aware that you're aware.
Yeah.
Is what's impossible to sustain.
Okay. All right.
At least for me, thank you.
Yeah.
And that's all I know.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's as authentic as anyone can be.
Mm-hmm. We're lacking another symbol. Amazing. You know, there's an awareness and then there's awareness of awareness. It's like we're talking about two different things. Let's call what it is. I have no idea what it is.
Well, if contest, if we idealize awareness of awareness as contrasted with awareness, then we end up with an impossibility.
It's a problem of words, I think.
And how about awareness of awareness of awareness?
Give me off the holodeck. Three levels down.
Yeah, really. Captain.
What I'm saying is there's a non-verbal experience, which we're talking about. That's awareness right. In the present yes. Moment. You know, and I can experience it
yes.
Right now.
Right.
And then cool. I know it'll go away. You know,
yeah. So. Right.
Or maybe it never goes away. It's just overshot. You know, it's overwhelmed by your thought process, your imagination. Your
yeah. It is.
Discursive ramblings, whatever, you know. But that doesn't mean that goes away. No. It's just that that's not where this other thing that I can't name is.
It's not aware of us.
Yeah, although that's, I don't
know. You know what? I think it's a matter of reference. It's like a screen capture, right? It'll always go away when we go, I got it. Right, but if yeah. You have no screen capture, it's never not
screen capture.
It's never not what it is. You know what I'm saying? Oh, I like this. I'm gonna catch it and put it in my bank of memories of collections of cool experiences.
To catch it,
right? But what if I have no stickiness to anything?
Now you're just a subject or whatever. No, you're an object.
I am
no
saying
stickiness.
I am saying. I'm saying I.
You're
I am saying
object.
I, but.
And everything's slapped out.
Things travel
to,
them, right. No attachment.
To me, where that tickle is,
yeah.
The pure tickle is,
yeah.
When I don't seem to be looking for anything, yeah. Holding on to anything in reference to my experience being delightful and desirable or repulsive and negative and contrasting to this or to that or when I this and what I'm going to that. You see what I'm saying? And it's just, where do I take the picture? I don't. What if I don't take any pictures, right? Then there is no reference to it's gone because it was never.
Well, that's the, see, that becomes the dilemma of Douglas Harding qualifying, not just Douglas, but any, you know, teacher, any teacher qualifying this as the, from the vantage point of, you know, knowing what you truly are. I mean, that's the urgency, right? The seeker, if there's a seeker, wants to know what they truly are. I think that's a fair kind of general metaphor, right? And Douglas Harding says, da-da-da-da-da, that's what you truly are. And you refer to it by the metaphor of awareness of awareness.
Right, and all of those are words.
Yeah.
Douglas Harding would say that, but they're just words. But he would say that you can get to that experience.
See, that's the problem, sir. You can't get to anything because you haven't begun to begin with. The moment you begin, then you think you can get to. But you have to see that you never began. Then you don't have, then there's nothing to get to.
So when, well, see that as inconsistent.
So when you say you're having those moments of being there, then you're saying those don't exist?
No, I would say that those moments of that are characterized by that you have not begun. They're not the satisfaction of having gotten anywhere. They're the cessation of beginning in the first place.
But if they feel like you're there,
who's you?
Yeah, if they feel like you're there, that's an afterthought.
But it's the cessation that's the important word, you know, I would think.
I think so. I don't know.
Sorry, can you go over that again?
I wish I did. See, the seeker can't ever get anywhere. Because the seeker is a myth of having begun. If you see through the myth of begun, it's clear to you that there's no place to get.
I got a cool metaphor in my head.
That's so strange. You never have cool metaphors.
You're on the beach and you got a metal detector.
Yes.
Right? And the metal detector is my awareness looking for metal. Because life is metal. And it goes off, and it doesn't go off, and it goes off, and it doesn't. And then I turn the detector off. Metal, no metal, no matter.
Metal, no metal, no matter. That's a new T-shirt. Print it. Print 100. Double XL.
But again, if I'm looking for something, and I'm setting it like a crystal radio, I like sports, or I like, you know, the jazz, or I like whatever, and I've got the jazz.
Grateful Dead, Sirius XM.
And all of a sudden, life is jazz, right? Pull the crystal out, and everything goes quiet.
Yeah.
Or it's whatever, or it's not anything.
The reflex, which is not a reflex because it's not volitional, the myth of materialization, concretization as self, as beginning, as anything, whether you want to hold the brain responsible for consciousness or consciousness responsible for the brain, doesn't really turn out to matter so much because you've already, right, taken on persona.
I agree totally.
Yeah. So once you've taken on persona, by virtue of the adoption of persona, which is effortless and impersonal, occurs spontaneously, and there is no genesis as to why that occurs. I don't care what the Buddha said.
Well, but there's no persona with what I experience. Or I may layer things on that are persona, but that's not the fundamental experience.
Yeah, I realize that. But you want to get back. Is that fair to say? Having had that experience one time, five times, 100 times.
Well, they have an interesting, to introduce a new word. You know, several new words. The little guy or the ego wants to get back. Yeah, there is this human
right
here.
Right.
And
yes,
that entity wants to get back.
Yeah, yeah. So that's, right? That's the dilemma, right?
He's never going to get there.
Well,
maybe that's what you're saying.
Well, yeah, because this human that had a bright moment that's worth, you know, talking about, sending a postcard home, right, wants to get back. So you could see how the spontaneous arising of sense of human, sense of little guy, ego, call it what you will, you're already too late. There can never be any getting back. Sorry to hear that.
But there is this experience. What I would call
self-experience. I know, you see, but here's the problem. I hear you, and I believe you 110% and even more. But see, the dilemma is that this keeps effusing, right, a sense of having been, having gotten, wanting to get back, Douglas Harding-isms, Richard Lang-isms, a thousand isms, right? And you can see how we're just completely overwhelmed by, right, metaphor, body of metaphor, body of self, objects, subjects, da-da-da-da, all the shit that everyone says about it. You can see it just, you know, melts down to nothing at all. So the fun part that I would suggest is, see if this irrefutability has become something.
Has become something?
Yes.
It's not going to become something.
I don't know. We just have to see, like, kind of like right here and right now, whether it has become something. Then has it become something?
The more content generated. Until we're not.
That's what we're playing around with.
Right.
We're playing around with observing the miracle of content and context generation. That suggests little guy, big guy, getting to, not getting to, awareness, objects, subjects. I mean, you know, the vocabulary of unicity or non-dual bullshit. Right? That's just, it fuses out of thin air. It doesn't actually mean anything. But if it's binding, then we remain a seeker in hopes of getting back or getting to for the long haul. Not that there's a long haul, because there's just this moment. Now this one, now this one, now this one, and everything keeps evaporating. I'm pulling the rug on the instantaneous genesis of myth.
Something kind of question that tickles my mind is, does consciousness need a body to be conscious, or does awareness need a body to be aware? Does experiencing need a body to experience? And if not, then
what's the body?
Right. I mean,
besides a vacuous hole to put chocolate chip cookies in.
I was born such and such a day. My name is such and such. I have a resume.
So that's,
I like this and I don't like that.
Also.
And I'm aspiring to doing certain things better, and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
That's
myth creation includes.
That's the persona.
Yeah.
Right? And then there's experience that seems to be completely free. Well, not free like not that, but yes, no, it doesn't matter. Not doesn't matter like meaningless, even, but not attributing meaning based upon my resume.
Sure.
Of Dave in body.
Yes. Right. Yeah.
And that's the dance that I find amusing, because there are times where it's like, well, where's the body? Where's the reference? Whoa, this is kind of cool.
Sure.
And who's experiencing this without without the usual synapses?
Mm-hmm.
Without the usual.
Yeah. Without the usual. Isn't there a movie, The Usual Synapses?
Or they could say, you know, that it's a little loopy misfiring or something, but
well, that's what people refer to you behind your back. Loopy misfiring.
It's a program. It's a program.
Ringing Rocks. Yeah. We bring Dave to Ringing Rocks and he just pounds his head on the stone.
I was like, that could sound a little hollow.
Yeah.
We're going to open it up and check it out.
This is not the room for affirmation.
Yeah, really. Well, any dependency.
Take a whole package.
Keep eating. Any dependency relationship that may include awareness, consciousness, body, not body, right, is right manufactured in situ. It's just like, out of thin air, comes representational, right, language, experience, that is attempting to refer to the irrefutability of consciousness and all its permutations. And then carves it up into stuff, right? An unbroken unicity of, you know, perfect weirditude is capable of carving itself up into stuff. That's the becoming.
There's no answer to that mystery of where all this comes from.
Yeah, because there is no where, because there's no prior.
Where would you store the answer?
Right. Wow. So, yeah, it's interesting. I mean, this is very counterintuitive from a physics and other points of view to suggest that this is a causal and not the consequence of anything. It's not made of anything, and there's no author. It's not made of anything, doesn't become anything, there is no author. And yet, the irrefutability is so variable, so infinite, so tickling, that we are, overwhelmed with affection, which could turn out to be extinction.
Hardy points out that, in a way, there is an author, there is a source. It's right here.
Well, but you can see that that's just an absurd, puny objectification of nothing at all.
It's not absurd.
Well, because you're the guy that likes a clue, and I'm the guy that likes the clueless.
It's not the little guy.
No, it's no matter what you call it, sir, little guy, big guy, it's bullshit.
Why is it bullshit?
Because it's an idea.
It's not an idea, it's an experience.
An experience is an idea, until you might be willing to see that the loyalty that you placed on experience is an idea. For as long as you insist that experience is experience, as something at all, the impossibility that you spoke of earlier will be your best friend.
But it's a crazy idea from my perspective. My I'm a scientist by background, and it's a totally crazy idea.
Mm. That?
That in some way, I am the source.
Well, for a scientist, it's crazy.
For
a scientist, it's crazy. I would like to push you, with your kind permission, to a place beyond crazy. There's no fucking source. And Douglas Harding didn't know what it was. There is no author. There is no building block. It's not made of anything. There is no source.
Those are very definitive statements you're making.
Well, I like to be bold. I get big donations.
Just because we can't conceive of anything without a beginning or anything with an end, because all we can conceive is what we can know, and we can only know change, that doesn't mean... I mean, we can never prove that it can't exist. Just because you can't, that's how we're made. We can't conceive of something other than that.
I don't know. I'm pretty relaxed with it.
You can't even think of anything that doesn't have a beginning. I mean, everything is just, there's always
all this, all this, all this.
There was always something before it. There'll always be something after it. You can't imagine anything else. We're not capable of.
I hear you.
Isn't it considered a fact that time is not a fact?
Depends who you read.
I thought it was.
It's not linear, perhaps, but that doesn't mean it's not a fact. Time is just change.
Time is a concept.
Time is just a way to measure things aren't the same.
To measure things that change in order to try to define them.
By trying to reside in a source. As a source, you're going to keep hitting the wall of impossibility. Take it or leave it.
I am the light that lights up the world.
No question. Have another cookie?
Forms in the toilet.
Yeah, no, it doesn't matter. Only, who cares about that stuff?
No, I was roomy.
And it's not
the darker side of roomy.
The darker
side?
What was it you said?
Fuck you and the unicorn you rode in on. Roomy.
I went to Galawashko. Sorry.
Oh, you did? Oh, nice. Good move.
You know, again, my mind is playing. It's having fun, actually. Inhaling and exhaling. You know, unicity. Differentiation, and time is just a factor of holding on to differentiation. But unicity is never not. Differentiation is where we play. Chop, 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 chop. Process, evolving and devolving, coming in out of something and then going back into something, having a location.
And you ride the great turtle, my friend.
I'm a free associator. I always got a D in conduct for that, too.
Yeah.
You're supposed to pay attention. You get
I got an F minus. So.
Wow, that's as low as you can get.
She's the grandmaster.
F minus.
I'm curious about the use of the word we, because if we means everyone here and everyone in Doylestown. And everyone who ever has been in Doylestown, and everyone who ever has not been in Doylestown, we is pretty big, and I think it makes the point
yes
that There's no differentiation and it includes everything.
But
if you say we, unless you mean just we, here, what is it? What's we? You know?
It's the royal we. It's the extension of ourselves, right?
Well, that would be my opinion. So nothing is... Nothing is not included.
I think it makes a double negative makes a positive.
Which is perfect.
Which is the truth.
Nothing is not included. Right. Ooh.
But if you, you know, like...
Remind me to smoke pot next time we have this.
I did.
The story of things, the arc of things, and you're seeing it at this particular point in time, you know, and that point in time. And how things evolve and change, and that there's this whole thing going on, and we're observing. But what if you say, okay, that's fine. I'm not going to worry about that. Let that go as it goes. I don't know if it's the Matrix. I don't know if it's a dream. I don't know if it's just hard, you know, pool balls knocking around or something like that. But what if you just consider that that's not the point? You know, that all this stuff that has to do with time doesn't really get you anywhere except bring it back into the world of time. You know, whether it's a fantasy world or, if you will, the real thing. But what if you just get beyond that? You know, just let that go. Let that go its own way. And consider that you are the impossibility. You know, that you are the space between. You know. I mean, so... It's
for a pool ball.
I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Yeah. In other words, you can break it down to a material kind of a way, but what's the point? You know, well, that's a non-starter. You know.
I always find the idea of the brain and the scientific explanation interesting because it does say that the whole world, it's basically the same saying that the whole world is in you. It's just in your brain.
Yeah.
You know, the whole thing.
Yeah.
But it does say that it implies that it's in you.
Yeah. It's always fun to look at those things.
Yeah.
It's cute.
I think it's a practical expression, personally.
Well, who could argue with that? You know, this conversation, if it has any value, and thank God it doesn't, you know, is a cultivation, in a sense, a playful refutation and a cultivation of, you know, what we are all, let's say, curious about, right? Which is what Douglas Harding said could occur. You discover what you've always been. That's this, right? Yeah. So we play around with, you know, conceptual nuance, approaches, temporal or otherwise, practices, reflections, for fun, for the kind of the thrill of it, to... see the present effervescence of interest, curiosity, metaphor, representation, texture, and the evaporating of same. It's nice to feel what it is that we are capable of feeling texturally and or sentimentally, if you want to throw that in, why not? And we're not dependent upon the pleasant metaphors of anyone else. dead or alive. Yeah. The vehicles that we may use on the, you know, the arc of a journey all have their role to play. Contributing, right? Contributing to our curiosity and experience. New memes are discovered, old memes discarded. New textures appear, old textures disappear. So there's this arc of discovery, arc of seeking, and all the metaphors and persons and conversations and practices that we get to participate in and play with as our own organic, you know, wisdom gathers, call it, you know, momentum. And you could say that the fruition of that arc of discovery is, as the Buddha suggested, being unbound. It's not to refuse phenomena or experiencing, however that may show up. You could say it's a curious appreciation of the non-binding nature of present experience. The cessation of any becoming. Yeah. Then what we call objects, they don't matter, but they matter. But it doesn't matter that they matter, and it matters that they don't matter, and it doesn't. There's no dependency, right, on a value system. Yeah, there's no dependency on belief. There's no dependency on a value system. There's no dependency on genesis of any kind.
There's no dependency.
No, there's none. That's right. Yeah. Perfect autonomy. But not autonomous from anything. Not other than anything. But also the, you know, the cessation of seeking, the cessation of representation, including the cessation of impossibility. And this shit sneaks up on you. It just does. It sneaks up on you. Who knows? There may be an event that you can mark in your life at some point where you could say, well, you know, I was working this shit, and then I kind of forgot about it, and I was half interested, and da-da-da-da-da, and boom, all of a sudden, I don't know what happened, but I just couldn't find myself anymore. You know, you might have an event like that, you know, that you could refer to people later on saying, oh, yeah, I remember the day and the time or the place where I couldn't find myself anymore, or not. Or this could just keep sneaking up on you and sneaking up on you and sneaking up on you, and you never have an event. You can't point to an event. You just find yourself curiously
entangled.
Curiously disentangled.
Disentangled.
Curiously disentangled. Right.
I'm trying to think of words to say what I'm thinking. But if you have an event where you're not yourself.
Yes.
At that moment.
Yes.
All
right. At that moment, you actually know there's no moment. So therefore,
yeah,
it stays with you.
Yes, sure. It could very it whatever it is could very well occur that way. You know.
Or. Yeah.
That's too strange. we're fond of a certain quality of consciousness that says I existed prior to now, I'm existing now, and I have plans for my future. That's, you could say, kind of a convenience of, or an inconvenience of conformist reality that we're happy to subscribe to. But what if that's just not true, or not entirely true? Then pre-existent, presently existent, future existent, they really don't mean anything. You're just not bound by that any longer. Though you can still find your car keys and your favorite blouse or tie.
I think some physicists, don't they say, believe that all time exists all at once and that it's just a human illusion, the idea that it's a linear thing.
Yeah.
That everything is all always.
Well, I think they might be onto something. You know, the sages similarly would suggest that what we might refer to as actuality as a non-contrivance, like we're playing around with, right? Awareness of awareness. Actuality is not marked by time. It's just not. And even though we have this incredible capacity for what we think is reliable memory, which it turns out it's not, and the kind of holographic projection that I existed prior to now, that I'm existing now, that I'm likely to exist in the future, is ideation. That actuality is curiously, strangely all that's so, and has no duration. Actuality has no duration. Present moment has no duration. There really is no present moment, and yet you can't find anything other than the not present moment.
I'm thinking of the quantum, what do they call it? The field of possibilities.
Uh-huh.
So it's a term they use.
If you build it, they will come.
It's a field of possibilities.
Yeah.
It
could be. Yeah. It's really strange. We can only report on it, metaphorically, through a kind of an imaginary extrapolation.
Mm-hmm.
So, sure, field of possibilities, yeah, you know, batter up.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of measurement, when they do measurements, and I don't really know what I'm talking about, but I'm just going to say it anyway. In physics, then that's the observer effect, so that when they're perhaps taking that point in time, the field of possibilities collapses into something definable, which is what happens when you're claiming subject-object. It's sort of the same thing. Everything collapses into a this instead of the open possibility.
It collapses into a particle or a thing.
Unicity.
Well, if you're Schrodinger's cat, are you dead or alive?
Only when it's observed, is it? So it's that collapses the possibilities. Which is the same, I think, as defining, which is where I'm trying to make this connection.
Yeah.
When you have a concept, then it becomes, it just sort of, it collapses. Well, I don't know if collapses is a good word, but it congeals into a small thing that you think you can understand.
See, I don't understand what observer means. Because you know, it's the same thing that you were talking about is the awareness and the awareness of awareness. So is the observer just like taking it in, or does the observer have something there?
It's imposing a point in there. Time. It's imposing time.
It's imposing time.
At this moment, yeah. This right. is. And since time is not.
It's a belief that there's something's going on right now.
I think so.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the collection of expressions, impressions that we have over a lifetime has a sort of a slowing down factor to this, you know, like a memory, like how memory works in a way, in a sense. I'm present, but if I'm present with all these memories in relating to presence, you know, I've actually slowed down presence with my processor.
Well, the imposition, right? The imposition of pattern recognition, preference, recall, are, you could say, what the illusory self, not that there is one, is made of representation, made of ideation, which includes the, you know, the myth of time, the myth of space.
Person on a planet.
Person, planet, birth, brain. All
there's
that.
Lots of stuff out there.
Yeah.
Milky Way.
Milky Way.
So I'm cool with it. And
sure.
Snickers.
I don't need to define
the Are there Snickers floating value. Around in the Milky Way?
You know,
yes.
I've got a good thing going here. I'm going to make it better.
Yes.
I'm going to make sure it's recorded. And,
monkeys eating Snickers. You
know. Right.
And I leave my mark. And all those things might happen. I'm saying it sort of tongue in cheek in a way.
Uh-huh.
But another part says it doesn't matter worth anything in the sense that the universe doesn't need me to get it for it to be so. And it doesn't need me to be clueless of it for it not to be so. But I could be clueless or get it in a fun sort of way.
Yeah.
And not have gained anything or have lost anything.
Yes.
So, again, it's like going to the amusement park. If you're bored, and sometimes you scruff your knees up, and it hurts. And other times you're just like a kid in a candy store. All's well.
Now you're smoking that turtle shell.
No, it's relieving to a very busy,
yes.
complex mind.
Right.
That had this idea that if I understand... It won't, you know, I won't have suffering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Nor will I inflict it.
Uh-huh.
You know, if I understand. And letting go of that idea is incredibly, it's like the balloon now can,
nice.
Can rise up.
Buddha be gone. Buddha, get thee behind me. Something like that, right?
Yeah, then even a seeking that happens is done with a certain levity as opposed to an urgency of, boy, do I want to wake up this time because
yeah.
I feel like doing this.
Levity and brevity.
and you can use the word instantaneity many times.
Uh-huh.
In the sense of...
I always instantaneously do that, yeah.
Yeah, even though, again, it's a reference of some sort of time, but it's really saying that it doesn't even have a thickness because it's that immediate. It doesn't even have a point where you go, there it is, because then it gets thick from trying to capture
this. Well, that's the beauty of going back to texture or presence practice.
Then texture might be a little dance with it, expanding into kind of an aha and
oh, yeah, you know, sure.
So the texture might be that we get to slow-mo a bit,
mm-hmm.
you know, and kind of watch the slow motion of presence replay and then have the replay reverb, you know, before you know it, we're like creating a vibe.
Well, it's all thinner than that, of course, right? Because we're operating in a field of loquacious metaphor.
Yeah, but I know what you're pointing to. at least I think I know it's being pointed to here, which cannot be grasped or spoken. And then there's this expansion of this playful mind.
Yes.
And heart, and then it's dissolution.
Yeah.
And then it comes back again, you know, even more. And then not taking it so imminently, importantly, as self. You know, again, I have no landing pad for this.
I hear you. Yeah, see.
The sails are up.
There's sharks circling the boat. Why don't you try the water first?
I don't even know where the ocean is anymore. Keeling over is an easy
one. I don't hear you, shark.
Not really. You're surrounded by vegan sharks. Tell us how cool the water is.
They're like fisher friends.
That's right. What's eating you? The ocean is. Yeah, so I like that you sort of punch into any attachments that I may have that come up when I want to kind of create an idea, which I'm doing as we're speaking. And right now, energetically, there's these pins just poking at it. Pop, pop, pop. You know, and then here it is again.
If I had a stun gun, I would use it.
We should get one. That would be a good one.
Yeah, I think so, right. We should all chip in for a stun gun. We could pass it around. Yeah, yeah. You're the gun minder tonight. That's a funny stun gun. Yeah, they all use a stun gun. Weird people.
Guaranteed not to feel bad.
Cattle prod.
That would be nice.
That's more appropriate. Oh, yeah. This is like herding cattle.
Consciousness is loquacious, if you haven't noticed.
What does loquacious mean?
It loves to speak.
It's a root of eloquent, right? Mm-hmm.
Yes. Awareness of awareness is possible. And it grows on you. All time is kind of a myth anyway. You know, someone that's aiming for the lofty destination of enlightenment might wish that awareness of awareness were a reliable, if not persistent, possibility, right? And maybe that's what Douglas was referring to in his poetically chosen words. And yeah, we get distracted easily and diverted and occupy the miasma, is the word, of the small self. Mm-hmm. With ease.
What's that word you use? Do you remember biologic? Oh, I use it in the email to you.
Sumptuously biographical?
Thank you so much, yes. Sumptuously biographical.
Oh, you're so kind. The notion that we can measure our experience as possible or impossible, as durable, is right? It's a myth. It's a presently effervescing myth. It's an idea. Underneath or behind that idea is this that is so, right? The unperturbable flow of aware of awareness, whatever you want to call it. So what appears as an interruption is the effusion of myth, an effusion of accusation, which is, right, a fantasy. And that fantasy can be enduring, defining. But that's how this works, right? This is how this confounds itself. It suggests, right, that something is so, something about which a meaningful accusation can be made, and then it enjoys that assignment and takes it on, like faster than you can, you know, say Elmer Fudd, just bam.
Born as a nation.
Yes, and part of these kinds of circles, as they may occur, is a yogic kind of endeavor, right? A self-discovery endeavor to see how curious, how profound, how magical, how mystical even, the effusion of accusation occurs. Makes something out of nothing. Insists on time when there is none. Insists on consequence when there is none. And then we become, you could say, inebriated with the implied accusation, the implied implication of the implied accusation. We become inebriated with that. And so we come up with, it's impossible. It makes perfect sense. But it's not true. That's what's fun to play with.
Would you
I
agree,
yes,
that what's impossible is to bring your story into it. So when the, let's say, personification of the human, or the, I don't know, When you define yourself as this, then it becomes impossible. Bringing this,
yes,
path, bringing the path to it,
yeah, that's right.
Impossible.
If you bring it,
but isn't that all you ever do?
But see, then it becomes semantics again, which is like impossible because I can't not bring. Because it's all
You can't really report on yourself very well.
So even possible, impossible is sort of an enamored state.
It doesn't mean anything.
Something is impossible. Something is being held onto as an idea, possible, impossible.
Yeah, it's frozen. Right.
Possible, impossible.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and it's something that you said, getting into all the quantum stuff and Schrodinger's cat and all that.
I'm thinking if you were, you know, that double slit experiment where, you know, they have light going in.
Double slit.
Particles and waves. And you look at it and it's particles, and you don't look at it and they have sensors and it's waves, you know? I mean, but what if you could look at it without time coming into it? What would that be? Well, you turn yourself into an instrument in a sense. Would it be waves at that point? Could you see the waves? You know, now, and wave, you know, all of this is, you know, a function of time.
Does the stun gun just have one or several?
Cattle pup. Yeah. Yeah. Suggested, and I think it's a good one. Because I'm not sure if
can we only use it once a night, or is it rechargeable?
We
could
get a cattle prod.
Cattle prod is better, yeah.
We can buy those. I'm not sure if average citizens can buy. But yeah, I think cattle prod would be.
Well, you could just use a marble or something and be a little kinder and pop somebody.
Marble's good.
Yeah.
Chocolate, that would be like prasad, right? Like
No.
Shiva Bali Yogi,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, what?
Tootsie Rolls?
No, we're trying to incorporate electroshock therapy in. So.
No, I'm not depressed.
You haven't been here long enough.
Maybe I am, but I didn't know it. Okay, I'm in.
What we can refer to as the genesis or the myth of establishing, right, the beachhead. You put your flag down, right? You establish a position, beachhead. Mm-hmm. You have ideas about yourself, about your life, about your spiritual curiosities, attainments, and failures to attain. And that's just all presently appearing folderol.
I know, you're in a bikini, right?
Nice.
I'm sorry, I'm in town
projecting. You're just envisioning females in bikinis. Shocking, Dave. Never mind. Thank you.
Never mind.
Sometimes, David, yes. You got to do that first.
Knock on that again.
We should rename this, right? The Herding Cat Sangha.
Right. Cattle prongs.
Good luck. The good luck Sangha. We can't get any fucking mileage out of anything around here. But seriously, folks, take my wife, please. My God.
The beachhead. Come on.
I'm good. I'm sated.
You can't use that metaphor anymore. Thank you, Dave.
Bikini atoll. I mean, it's a little infuriating, and that's kind of fun, but just through, you can say, repeated exposure to seeing what an idiot I am amongst, you know, friends, is useful. That will hold you to it, yeah. It's a kind of a salve.
Keep bringing it up, yeah.
Yeah.
Friends and fellow idiots.
Yeah. We're apparitional, right? We effuse apparitionally, and we bring along for the ride beliefs and superstitions and insistences and causality, which can be conceived, that which is, you know, beyond conception. And that's how we run. We just, like, you know, just loaded to the gills with nothing, with just an effusion of ideation. And then we're happy to, you know, have the Crusades. Or genocides, or, you know,
Donald Trump.
Right?
Oh my God!
Yeah.
Oh, now I can't go there.
Don't go there. No, don't go there. Sorry, we shouldn't have brought it up. Yeah. Or we have philosophies, right? We have spiritual aspirants and spiritual actualizers, and money's exchanged. Mm-hmm. Or affection.
Alert idiocy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
The baby.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. It's interesting how much, you know, kind of playful mileage you can get out of simply seeing, appreciating, relishing how one effuses into being. And then presumes oneself to be of a solid, durable, durational, consequential nature. Yeah. Maybe that's why I use the word inconsequential, because the seeing through of the imagination of all that is consequential, to see that it is inconsequential, that one's presence is transhuman. That is a different, I'll argue for a little bit. It has a different implication. When one's superstition and belief and loyalty to causality evaporates. No destination remains. no becoming is necessary. Even the idea of being what you already are, being what you truly are, becomes absurd. It becomes like a, you know,
bedtime story.
Spiritual bedtime story.
It's a bit of a relief, really. You know, it takes the urgency out of it. Life of searching.
Searching and failing, failing and searching.
No.
I still search heavily for snacks.
Because they already know that it can't
be. No, I do. Here.
It's a luxury that not all people have.
Sure. Yeah, this is a luxury. Thanks. We should go bowling instead.
There's seaweed.
Seaweed in there?
I wasn't going to eat it, but I, you know.
Seaweed from
yeah,
where?
A little radiation isn't so bad.
Oh, Korean seaweed?
Yeah. It's not that close, right?
Seaweed with sea salt from Korea. Is that
a little bit of radiation. Yeah. It's okay.
Well, the iodine in the seaweed is supposed to reduce the impact of the radiation poisoning. Right. Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh,
sure.
There you go. It's all canceled.
This is neutral.
Yeah.
You just want to eat a bag of it under chemtrail skies.
Yeah, well, right.
Well, any questions?
What are we doing here? Why do we keep coming back?
That's up to you. Yeah.
I guess you want 30 pieces of silver.
Taxman.
Taxman. That's right. He is the taxman, isn't he?
I'm the taxman. Whoa. Taxman.
Thank you for that book.
There you go.
I need 29 more.
Any donations that you might care to give end up in the hands of Pebble Hill Church that hosts and supports this beautiful room.
We need suspenders if you have more than 5 minutes.
Jan, thanks for coming. Tom, thanks for returning.
Allowing me to say whatever I say.
This is a place to say whatever.
Say it.
For sure.
Say it. Say it.
My nature is
I'm not like that.
Oh, that's
you're the only one in this room like that.